We're going to start. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day, and we think of George Faust and his family and the life that he lived for you, and always willing to share you with people he came across, and hug people and shake hands. We just thank you for his life, and we thank you that him and Wanda are together in heaven now. Just be with the family, as I know they're still mourning, that you just comfort them in this time. But talking to some of them, they know where their dad is and their grandpa. So that's the best thing. Be with us now as we continue this study, this closing study, and for the past 2 weeks, as what's happening around us. Just give me clear thought as I present it. We're asking all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to end today, and this is one that it's entitled Red Letter Christians, and some of you may have heard of that. Some of you may not never heard of it. And we're going to discuss, or I'm going to try to present what I've learned and studied in the past week, some key players involved in it. And the interesting thing about this is Brandon House announced that he, the person in charge of this, was the keynote speaker at that meeting of 50. So you have to understand what's going on in these evangelical, quote-unquote, leaders who they bring in to talk. They're not doing a very good job discerning at who they're bringing in to talk to them or to present to them. So we'll get started. So I didn't give you any notes. If you got paper, that's fine. You can write down things. You can also just kind of listen and you know, and we'll try to do it the best that we can from there. Who are they and what do they teach? Okay, who are they and what do they teach? Why isn't mine showing my notes? Ah, there we go. Okay. They follow the red letters in the Bible. So if you have a Bible that has red letters to indicate the actual words that Jesus spoke. So they will tell you they do everything that Jesus spoke about in the New Testament. That's why they're called red letter Christians. Everything he says, quote unquote, they adhere to, they follow. Well, we'll find out they're not following it the way it's meant to be followed. They are a group of liberal, progressive Christians whose purpose is to counter the political influences of the normative conservative Christian movement. They've been around for a long time. They've been kind of under the radar because, for the most part, the conservatives have dominated the scene. Now everyone's coming out of the woodwork because there's a, remember we talked about that void? There's that void in that leadership. Now more are coming out, and this would be a fringe group. However, the person that oversees it is very dangerous, and we'll get to that reason why. Yes.
So when you call them liberal progressive
Christians, are they actually Christian? I'm not asking you to judge the Christian, but this isn't the biblical. It's not biblical to me, but to them it is. So I can't question if they are or not. You have to. You know, they have an agenda, of course, but it's that other agenda, and we'll get to them. So you can figure out why they throw out the word red letter Christian, because if you don't know anything about them, you could be attracted to them. That's the whole purpose of red letter Christians. People see that and go, oh, well, they follow what Jesus says. Well, in their own way, they follow what Jesus says, and we'll try to get to that. I guess you can make up your own mind if they are or they're not. They felt they were disenfranchised and feeling their faith was hijacked from conservative Christians because they were kind of put down in a way. They weren't getting what they called a voice per se in mainline Christianity. The two most prominent figures in it or associated with the movement are Jim Wallis and Tony Campolo. Those are the two main guys. Some of you may have heard of Campolo. I've read books on him years ago. Jim Wallis, they're buddies. and we'll learn a little bit about him. I mean, you could spend a day just talking about Jim Wallace and Tony Campolo, but you'll kind of get the idea of where their worldview comes from, and that's the purpose of doing this. Tony Campolo is a popular speaker among college students. You have to understand that. He is very influential, and I know there's some here who have listened to him speak. He's a great speaker. He is an absolutely great speaker. The problem is what he's telling people isn't the truth, not least all the truth. But he mesmerizes people, and the college students love him. Okay, he's very energetic. At least back when I knew him and watched him, he was that way. So he comes across as knowing everything in the kids in colleges. And I just read a report that 70% of the college professors in universities throughout America are liberal. Surprise, surprise. So you wonder why kids are coming out of college believing what they're being taught by liberal professors. I just had a meeting with nine of my seniors I took for an AC or a SA or AP exams. And I told them, all of you need to think for yourselves. Just because you go away to college doesn't mean a prof is the final say in anything. Discern what he's saying or she's saying to you. Don't just accept that as gospel. So I hope I got across to them that little time we had lunch together. So these are the two most prominent people within this movement. Okay, within this movement. Jim Wallace, some of you may have heard this, he's the founder of Sojourns Magazine. And his activist group is located in Washington, D.C. He is a political activist, even though when you look him up, it says he is a well-known theologian. Everybody's a well-known theologian within this group. They're all theologians. Okay? If you go back a little further, he's a Marxist sympathizer. It's going to call it like it is. He's a Marxist sympathizer. If you Google him, you can find out that in the 70s, when Central America was going through those revolutions with the communists, him and Campolo were supporter of the communist. Actually, Wallace was arrested 22 times by the American government. Okay, so you understand where this is kind of going to. These guys are Marxist sympathizers. They believe in the quote-unquote liberation theology, where we mingle the two together. And you can see now where the red letter thing starts coming into play with Jesus. They're promoting that social agenda. And they use that to promote their ideas. So you have this meeting that takes place in Wheaton College where 50 quote-unquote evangelical leaders show up, and Wallace is the main speaker to 50. Why? Because the 50 have the same agenda as Jim Wallace has. The same exact agenda. You don't bring somebody there to talk, and if you knew what I said, Brock would not bring somebody in that was opposed to what they wanted to present. He brought in the heavy hitter. This guy's the heavy hitter. This guy is the political guy. This guy is the guy that pushes this. Soldiers Magazine used to be called The Post. It was a political magazine put out by him that was anti-government, pro-Russia, pro-communism. And we have this going on today. And I put right here, in the 70s, he worked with the communists to overthrow governments in Central America. You know, it's the same thing, people. The new history books don't teach history the way all of us in here were taught. We know what communism is. We know what Marxism is. And you start out by having class warfare. What are you seeing today in America? Everything's coming down to a class warfare, or it's a racist thing. And most of it's being pushed by the evangelical left. Why? It fits their agenda. Communism did nothing for the poor people. Absolutely nothing. It made them even poorer. And yet these guys promote this stuff like, for some reason, the poor became the middle class. Show me in a communist country where there's a middle class. There's no middle class in Russia. There's no middle class in China. It's either here or here. There's nothing in here. That's the intent of, and most communist countries, they don't believe in any kind of a God. They're the God. Yet we have evangelical leaders pushing and promoting this to change America to become like this. That's what we're seeing. And for the most part, the church is quiet. Doesn't say anything. It's time that we get a little bolder maybe and start saying things, or like Andy Woods would say, start calling them out so people do know what's going on. He was one of the main speakers at the meeting of 50, and we talked about that meeting. Who does he associate with? Well, he's enlisted the help of Richard Rohr, a well-known Catholic writer. Okay, so he's in camp with them. Brian McLaren, an emergent leader, emergent church leader. You may have heard of his name. And Tony Campolo, a popular speaker and author of, and I read this book, Red Letter Christians, A Citizen's Guide to Faith and Politics. This is taught on college campuses. And you wonder why our kids, our millennials, think the way they think. This is why they think the way they think. And when they read this stuff, they think these guys know what they're talking about, so they just accept it. You know, we, as parents, I would hope, would have taught our children how to discern for themselves, so even if they did go away to a secular school, they could at least understand what was being taught within that college or university. I know that's not easy. It's hard to do. I went to a secular university. I know what they teach. There was sometimes I would write papers and get in trouble for the papers I wrote, or got a bad grade, or I couldn't do this speech because it didn't fit into what they wanted me to talk about. Yet I held to my guns and spoke on things like abortion. Spoke on things like weren't the norm for a university to talk about. So we have to, some of us, maybe we talk to our grandkids when our grandkids get this age, that we need to make them aware of what's happening around us. Why the name Red Letter Christians? Is to stress their political philosophy that is based on Jesus' teachings of, here we go, you've heard this before, what would Jesus do? Remember all of us that wanted to get that little bracelet? WWJD. What would Jesus do? This was their mainstay. And most of us probably didn't even know that. Okay? We didn't know that. We just thought, well, that sounds good. Yeah, what would Jesus do? This is their political philosophy. It appears to be apolitical. In other words, it avoids words like liberal and progressive. See, they don't want to be known as that. They just want to be known as red letter Christians. I am a follower of Jesus. That's what they want you to adhere to or abide by. Okay? They claim to transcend politics. There's more than politics involved. You want to transcend politics. Keep in mind, now, you should be thinking, whose worldview are we talking about? The Bible's worldview of what's going to happen, or man's worldview of what's going to happen? See, because now these are the two things that are fighting each other. Man's view, God's view. And what does the Bible say about it? Because the Bible tells us the truth. Okay? To them, no. And we'll talk about that. Not the whole Bible. They don't follow the whole Bible. Just the red letters in the Bible. Their teachings. This is how they handle this. Since Jesus did not teach on abortion or homosexuality, they are not important issues to talk about. So they don't talk about them. Why do you think they don't talk about those issues? They're embracing them. They embrace society that they're in. Exactly. Where you and I may be opposed to them, they embrace them because it fits society. It fits the society they want to come into existence. Okay? Listen, people. All this is moving toward a one world government at some point in time. It's leading that way. They are what Brandon House calls them, what Andy Woods calls them. They are useful idiots. They are being used by people to promote this kind of an agenda. And I don't use that word useful in a bad term. It's just what they are. they're being used and they don't even know it. Or they know it and don't care. And maybe it goes back to what Nancy said. Are they Christians or not? I don't know. But when you get into some of what they teach, you got to scratch your head and go, are they really? But it's not our place to decide that. It's not my place to decide that. That's only God knows their heart. I would think if they are, then God's going to deal with them in heaven in a way that they're not going to get much up there in heaven. He'll deal with them. Okay. My job is just to try to put this out so you know, and people who may be listening on the computer, they may know too, to be careful. Okay, because I think sometimes we see that and go, oh, well, they're okay, because they follow what Jesus says. They teach the effect of poverty. Here we go. Poverty, global warming, racial discrimination, the role of the military, capital punishment, foreign aid, and public education. The same things that were discussed at the what? Meeting of 50. Don't make these religious issues, make them political issues. See, I take them out. We can agree on the four here, but on these right here, which we should agree on all these, they don't. They don't. They want us to. We're okay here, but we should just accept what they want to teach here. Okay? So they do the same things as these other evangelical leaders or the emerging church or Rick Warren. I mean, I'll name him too. I don't know if he was at that meeting, so I can't put him there, but he would follow this same agenda. Yes?
Rick Warren is the first person I ever heard. He's always saying, Christ follower, which is the works righteousness. It's not, you've got to be doing,
deep
instead of street, doing.
So people, all of us have given to charities. All of us have. We've given something. We do things for maybe the community we live in. Okay? But that doesn't mean I'm supporting their agenda. See, we're not supporting it. Churches give to missions to do things within communities. They want to take this to the next level, see? They want it to go beyond that. So when they say that the church has never done anything, that's an outright lie. The church has done things for poor people, for communities, et cetera, et cetera. We have. They want us to go to that next level to where they want to say that whatever I have, everyone else can have. That's basically what it is. That's kind of what communism, Marxism is. The problem with it is you never get anything back. You never get anything back. If I give you a third of my income, I ain't going to get a third of it back because the government's going to keep most of it. Okay, that's the intent of what they're trying to do here. It's more focused on the social justice and temporal issues and not on salvation-related issues. These people don't talk much about salvation-related issues. It's all social, 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 period. Okay, and this gets back to what Nancy just said. It bases their agenda on works, not faith in Christ. It's this work thing. You're not doing enough. So I should be up here telling you, you need to get busy out there so Christ comes back quicker. Once you change society, then he'll come back. Until then, he's not going to come back because it's not ready. So who's to put the focus on again? Man changing and God depending on man to get things right. Where in the Bible does it quite say it that way? I don't read that anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere. And yet, that's what they promote. So we have to understand that. They have an open theological representation message. In other words, they are open to many worldviews and theological positions on biblical issues. Okay? That's the danger. Big time danger. Open to anything, to anybody. I put here, this view will cause a weakening of theology and the gospel message of the whole group. It weakens the theology. Remember what I've said before? Doctrine divides. And yet we're afraid, not us here, the world's afraid of doctrine because it divides. And the world wants everybody to be hunky-dory, in other words, and get along. And, well, true doctrine divides. No other way to describe it. It divides. Here's one of the co-founders, this Rick Rohr, believes that we must earn our way to heaven. So that's his view. He's a co-founder of this group, so we must earn our way to heaven. That's his view, okay? That's one. I'm just picking a few of these. Brian McLaren teaches distrust in the inspiration of the Word of God. He distrusts it and questions its ability to answer the questions facing the people today. See, so he tells the millennials, the Bible's not relevant to you today. We have to change it. And for the most part, the millennials accept that. Not all of them, the majority of them. So, how do you handle that stuff? He doesn't trust the inspiration of the Word of God at all, only in certain places. So that's what they do. Only in certain places is the Bible accurate, and it's only where? It found in the red letters. And then they twist that big time. The group refuses to use the Bible or Scripture to back their claims. They don't, if you corner them on an issue, they're not going to use the Bible or Scripture to back it. They don't have, there's no room to back it. I'll give you an example. In Matthew 25, you have the instance there of the sheep and the goats. They will say that that's talking about us taking care of the needy today. Where in the context of that, it's talking about the end of the tribulation. It's talking about how the Gentiles took care of the Jewish people during the tribulation. That's in the context. They twist that to fit their agenda. That social agenda. So they do that to promote this view. See, look what Jesus did. Jesus would want you to feed the poor. Have we done that? Yeah, we've done that. But we don't say it's because of the sheep and the goats. They take it really out of context to an extreme. They often rely on emotionalism and opinions, not Scripture, to voice their Christianity. Okay? And I'm sure Wallace, being a political activist, is probably pretty strong in how he presents his material. Don't know if I'd want to debate him or not. I wouldn't be afraid to, but this leads, here we go again, to a man-centered gospel that is Christless and saves no one. The social gospel saves nobody. Nobody. It sounds good. It looks good. Doesn't save anybody. It's contrary to 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture, oh, maybe I misread it. All red-letter Scripture is inspired. No. All Scripture, all, meaning Old Testament, New Testament, is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. They would say you can't follow the Apostle Paul because that wasn't Jesus speaking. That's not in the red letters, so we don't follow anything that's not in the red letters. It's not accurate. Paul was just a man. So even though God used Paul to give us all those epistles, we're not supposed to follow any of that teaching in there because it's not red letters. So they cherry pick Scripture to fit their political and social agenda. They cherry pick it. So when you say something about Paul, they'll just say, well, you know, Paul was a man, Jesus was God, and we just follow Jesus' words. Even though they take them out of context. Right here. They will argue, since Paul said that and not Jesus, they are justified in not following this teaching or his teaching. They're justified. They don't have to follow it. Yet we know that Paul's teachings were just as inspired as Christ Jesus, And Jesus showed a clear separation from all political movements. They want to make Jesus some political guru. You have to understand that. To them, Jesus is no more than a political guru who can mandate to government what should be done and can be done. That's the difference. And yet Jesus, throughout his teachings, was never a political movement. What did he say? And we'll get into some verses about that. He said, this kingdom is not what? His. It's somebody else's. It's not his. There's no kingdom here. No kingdom for right now. I'm not promoting Rome is Rome. In fact, you're supposed to what, he tells them? Support the government. What is Rome? You give back to Rome. That's talking about taxes. You give Rome back, even though it may not be the greatest thing. Jesus didn't teach to go out there and war with the government, yet we have these guys who take these words and they twist them and massage them to say, we're going to take away from you to give to everybody else. That's kind of what they're saying. These guys have a lack of proper hermeneutical understanding of the Christology that is interwoven throughout the entire Bible, not just the red letter part of the Bible. Okay, it's the whole Bible, not just the red letter part of the Bible. And we've talked about this before. The true point of the Bible is that it is not about us or a social gospel, but instead is about Jesus Christ and the glorification of God. That's the true point of the Bible. Nowhere are Christians mandated to change the culture they live in. Nowhere. Nowhere are Christians mandated to do a social agenda. Nowhere are Christians mandated to have a worldview that is contrary to what the Bible says. Nowhere. And yet somehow this has intertwined itself within politics and with evangelical leaders to where they're all jumping on that bandwagon. Most of them are jumping on that bandwagon. I would dare say there's probably few and far between of us who are opposed to that to those that are opposed or those that are in favor of it. Okay? They see Jesus in the role of a national government policymaker or master over the government. This is how they view him. Okay? He's a national government policymaker or master over the government. Why do you think they hate Trump? Pretty simple. Does Trump have any of their agenda? No. And we said it before. His character, he's probably more immoral than anything. He doesn't fit their agenda. That's why they attack him. See, he slowed them down. Okay? He slowed down this progress. That's why in that history book it said that when Trump was voted in, what? He put us backwards. Not forward. Meaning we weren't moving in that progressive thing that they want us to head toward. That's why they're upset with him. Okay, he doesn't fit this little thing, at least right now he doesn't. I'm not saying things could change, but right now they don't see anything here that he would support for them because he doesn't. Strong military, borders, he's opposed to abortion, and now he's going after the pharmaceutical companies, which he promised he would do. I mean, he's doing things that are rocking the cart, and they don't like it, and they're trying to use their churches to do things to get him either out or to vote a Democrat in. They would much rather have a Democrat, this group, in fact, that whole group. Brock, all of them. They were all Obama supporters. They probably voted for Hillary. You know, now she's going around the world doing all her little great talks on everything. Like everyone's listening to Hillary all of a sudden. Okay, turn to Matthew 5:17, and we're almost done. This gets into this part about how they view Jesus, but what the Bible says about Jesus. Matthew 5:17 says, do not think, this is him speaking. Now, this is his own red letters here. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Okay, very different than what they would teach, but yet it's still real letters. John 18:36. I don't know how they handled this verse right here. This is interesting. Jesus answered in red letters, "My kingdom is of this world, is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." This is not his kingdom, people. Well, they're Jesus' own words. In fact, he's talking to who here? Pilate. He's telling you, this isn't my kingdom. So what are you trying to do within this kingdom? Why are you trying to push something that's not mine to push? He said it's not his. And yet, we hear all the time, kingdom now, kingdom this, kingdom here, do this, do that, and that's what we hear all the time. I'm going to close with a couple of things here. Red letter Christians have actually perverted, and I use that word strongly, perverted the teachings of Christ and twisted it to fit their own progressive political agenda. Kurt and I could do the same thing. If we had a forum and we had 3,000 people, we could teach that stuff. Right, Kurt? We could teach it. We know it's wrong. I don't know if they know it's wrong or not. But they're perverting the teachings of Christ. I mean, I'd be a little more nervous with that part of it, perverting his teachings, than to push that progressive political agenda. So even though they're saying they're using the red letters of Christ to promote this stuff, they're perverting it. And when you can't look at other scripture to back it up, that makes things even worse for them, because all scripture, all, not just part of it, is profitable for doing exactly what it says, for reproof, for teaching, etc., etc. They have not treated the Word of God honestly and correctly. Okay? They have not treated the Word of God honestly and correctly. I put this on here with the last slide. This group is a danger. And again, Jim Wallace was one of the main speakers of the meeting of 50 promoting his Marxist worldview. And why do they have him there? Because they all have the same agenda. You wouldn't bring him in. Remember, he's in that Delphi training, so to speak, how to persuade people to come to his same conclusions. He wouldn't bring this guy in if they didn't have the same worldview. You notice he didn't have me there. He didn't have Kurt there. He didn't have Arnold Fruchtenbaum there. He didn't have Andy Woods there, because those guys would have been opposed to this stuff. That wasn't their intent. There was no open dialogue. It was one way. Their way, and he's the heavy hitter. This guy here is a danger. He's a danger, and yet you've got evangelical. I'm not even going to call him a theologian. That's giving him too much credit. He's a politician. He's an activist. And you have evangelical leaders who should know better are listening to somebody like him. That's a danger. Any questions? Thank heavens all you don't do that stuff. Yes?
Yeah, do they get really silly with this and carry it so far to say that you don't have the Word of the Bible, you don't have the Word of God?
You know, I didn't see that in there. Not saying they don't, but they would just say anything I've read. When you read Campolo's book, he pushes strongly the red letters. And when he's telling the college students within that book, everything Jesus says there is gospel, but yet he takes it and say, well, this is what it means. So he doesn't present the gospel within his book. It's this social agenda he's promoting. And he's been doing it for years. I mean, there are people who are probably white hairs who are probably into red letter. I guarantee it, because it's been around for a long time. It's nothing new. We just haven't heard about it or been taught about it because it was buried, so to speak. They weren't real vocal. He was always vocal. Now you have evangelical leaders who bring in Wallet, and I got to imagine, I don't know for sure, but I'll bet Campola was there too. They bring him in and he's their main speaker. And he's a Marxist.
What's disconcerting is Jesus, all in the words that God the Father allowed him to speak on this earth. He spoke in fulfillment of God the Father's plan. God of the Old Testament. If they're excluding the Old Testament as being important, then what are they saying about God? God's the same always.
It's all about man. It's all about man. Where's the put Wheaton? You want my opinion? They're pretty liberal. Very liberal. But you got to remember, you got most Christian universities probably pretty liberal. Most seminaries have gone pretty liberal. I mean, you have Brock at Dallas. That used to be pretty, Bach used to be pretty conservative. I'm not so sure anymore. I don't know. How these guys get into this stuff, I have no idea. I have an idea, but I'm not going to say it. But it's just amazing to me that you would have church evangelical leaders who would bring in somebody like this to be the main speaker to push this agenda forward. And the last news I've heard, they've gone after conservative Christian leaders. Starting, they're going to dig up schmuck on people, and yeah, so they're trying anything they can, so we'll just see where it goes. Don't know. Any other questions? Thank you. Next week we'll get back to Ezekiel. Probably a little bit better than this stuff right here, but I thought for 3 weeks this was something I needed to share. It was on my mind, and because you all may know, but there may be people who listen to Kurt and I who don't know this stuff. And they need to hear it and understand what's happening out in that world. You're all pretty good. You all know. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father, we just thank you again for who you are, for your word, for all your word, not just parts of it, for all of it. Thank you for giving all of us discerning minds. Pray that that will continue, that you help us to see things through your eyes and your lens, and our biblical worldview is a correct one. Just be with us now as we go into a time of fellowship. Be with Pastor Kurt as he brings the morning message to us. Think about those who may be traveling or away from us, that you just keep them safe as they travel. And we just ask you clear our minds and our thoughts for the next message here. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.